for doing the Lashet Amad Wat Hashem Timima. We're up to page Kuf Chaf Aleph in the Hazon Yol edition. What page is it there? Ayin Tet in the Beit Hayayin edition. Ramban's goal is to describe how all forms of wisdom are encompassed by the Torah, Torah Hashem Tmimah. That's why the name of the speech is Hashem's Torah is complete. And the Ramban had been discussing, we've learned so far about half of the speech, he'd been discussing how the Torah teaches us the order of creation and many insights into how things evolve, how things function, the concepts of the different powers that are at play in the world, the idea of a soul, the idea of life. And now the Ramban in our chapter is going into the wisdom of understanding people through their faces, through other indications that can give you insight as to who a person is. Now we discussed at the end of last semester, we discussed the research of, what was his name? We discussed the different research that's been done recently to identify people's personalities through their face, through their features, and we were discussing the Ramban, and the Ramban was discussing historically where this stood in the Torah and in the Torah's perspective. The Ramban continues and quotes that in this book called Chochmeta Rabta de Shlomo, this Kabbalistic work which discusses the great wisdom of King Solomon, it says that King Solomon could understand what people were thinking. Eino Chochmat Tzurat HaPanim Shehizkarnu, says the Ramban, that is not the wisdom we were just discussing, being able to tell people from their faces, but it's another idea that's described in this other work called Pirkei Echalot, Shomer Sham. Over there it elaborates and says, Ganav Adam Davar, if a person stole something, Yodel Makilbo. When Shlomo would meet him, he could look at him and tell him, ah, you did X. Ratzach Adam, if a person murdered, Yodel Makilbo. Shlomo would see the person and understand what he had done. Na'af Adam, Yodel Makilbo. If a person committed adultery, Shlomo would know. Ulefichach Amru, and that's why the Talmud tells us, Bikesh Shlomo Ladun Belo Edim. Shlomo was so smart, he wanted to judge without witnesses. People would come before him, and he'd figure it out. Now, we brought examples of this, of how Shlomo was able to know that the Navi shows us that Shlomo, as a 12-year-old, already knew who was right in the court case between the prostitutes. He only did the whole game with the sword so that the people standing around him would understand. But Shlomo could see it from the minute they walked in, and we explained that based on the Malbim. So now the Ramban is saying, the Gemara said, Shlomo said, I'm always getting it right. I can judge without witnesses. Yet Stabat Kol V'Amra, heavenly voice came out and said, Chtiv Yosher Divrei Emet, Al Pi Shnayim Edim, what I said is the truth. And in my Torah, I said, you go by two witnesses. You don't use your wisdom. There's more to be said on this, because this happened other times in Jewish history. But in general, no, this is the way we work, based on two witnesses, based on what we can prove. Nonetheless, says Ramban, even though throughout the Torah, I find allusions through the book of Bereshit about the different things that were put into place within nature, but nonetheless, I do have a question. When I look in the Torah, I see the Torah describing creation and the wisdom of creation. But I don't know, when I look through the Torah, where the Torah alludes to this other wisdom that we call Ma'ase Merkava, which we could define on the surface as understanding astronomy. The Rambam includes within his astronomy the understanding of the angels and the systems and the cycles and the I'm not sure which word to use, the way the Rambam describes the movement of the stars, The Rambam was describing it as though there's the star and there's the path that it's on, as though the path has a physical form, like a train on its tracks. So all of those, says the Rambam, are included in Maaseh Merkava. He says the Ramban, I don't see an allusion to that in the Torah. But there is above all of this, call it the chariots, call it the system, the celestial system, there is the upper understanding, and that is knowing the creator of it all, and that is written in the Torah. But this other system, I don't know where it's alluded to in the Torah. And maybe really it isn't written in the Torah. Maybe it was part of the oral tradition till you reach the prophets Yechezkel and Yeshaya, and they come and give us verses and they start telling us a description of the celestial system. But he says, I don't see an allusion to that in the Torah. Yes?
He's saying that this is something that's not in the Torah?
He's saying, I don't know where it's alluded to. He's saying, maybe this was oral. I don't. He's saying, I wrote this work to show you how everything's there, but there's something which I don't see. I don't know where it is.
But he's not saying that I don't know where it is, but it's in there somewhere. He's saying, I don't know where it is, so maybe it was oral.
Look, even the things he does know where they are alluded to, right? Okay, it's not like the Torah comes out and spells out.
He says,
this I haven't found an allusion for.
But then he's not saying that I don't know where it's alluded to. He's saying that since I can't find it, though I can't find it, so it means that it might not be in there.
Right.
But why, if this whole case, if everything's alluded to in the Torah, why did he just say, I don't know where it is? Because it doesn't mean that it's not in there.
So now, take it the next step.
The next step is that not everything's in the Torah, or unless you want to combine the oral and the
written. Whatever we're going to say now is our assumption in what he's saying. So you could say that to him, this was something which was, call it dispensable. I don't know. You could say that this was something which. Say a lot of things, but I don't know. He doesn't say. I think you have to see the other side of the coin. What would happen if the Ramban didn't say this? The Ramban could have left out this paragraph, right? But he was very honest. He came and said, look, I'm telling you that every form of wisdom is alluded to. There's one form of wisdom. I don't know where it's alluded to. He says, I have a question.
Okay, but his point is, he's not saying off of that despite the fact that I don't know where it is, it's in there somewhere, and that strengthens, that's in line with my point that I've been making this whole time. He goes a completely different route and says, since I haven't found it, maybe it's part of the oral. He needs
right?
to backtrack it on his point. I don't, his leaving that out, leaving this part out, it doesn't take away from that if he's not even strengthening his own point.
I'm not sure. You know, he opened the Pandora's box because what he quoted here is really a concept that shows up in Talmud two or three times. The Talmud says there are concepts that only appear in the prophet Yechezkel. And so the Talmud says, where were they beforehand? And the Talmud doesn't say, well, you can find an allusion for it here, there, or the other place. The Talmud says it was an oral tradition. Along came Yechezkel and gave us a verse for something that was on tradition till he came along. Once the Ramban is sticking that in, I'm not sure what to do with it. So then the Ramban is really, he didn't invent this idea. The Talmud says it in Moed Katan. The Talmud says it in Rosh Hashanah. The Talmud says it in a few places. The Talmud says this halacha, where do you see that in the Torah? Did Yechezkel mend it? Talmud says no. They had it on tradition. Now the Talmud wasn't bothered by saying parts of the Torah were on tradition and then Yechezkel gave them a verse. And he's going to deal with some concepts, but among the Rishonim, there were others who weren't bothered at all with taking certain concepts that are fundamental to Judaism, and you'll tell me, where do they appear in the Torah? And they'll say, they were tradition. It's just like a prelude to the Torah. The Torah didn't see a need to express it. others give other interpretations, and he will take some of those ideas and show where you can logically deduce them from the Torah. But not everyone went his route. So I'm not sure where, you know, when he says the Torah gives you everything you need to know, and now he's saying, okay, but here I have something that's not there. I have no issue if he'd say it's the written law and the oral law. It's the written law and the tradition. Because we say two Torahs were given to Am Yisrael and the Torah was given. It's the written and the oral law. It seems like he doesn't have an issue with that either. He doesn't mind saying, you know, the Torah is the oral tradition. But he doesn't spell it out. He just throws it as a line in the end. He says, I don't find an allusion to it in the Torah. And maybe it was tradition.
It doesn't seem to all he's been saying that he's relating to the oral Torah.
Well, you have to say it's relating to the oral Torah, because if you look closely, most of what he said isn't written anywhere. Meaning he's taking words which you can interpret in 500 directions, and he's interpreting it in the direction that he wants.
Right, right.
So without the oral law, you don't have anything of what he said, then it's all a game.
Obviously, everything is oral, but at least it's hinted to in the actual verses, the letters, the crowns, or anything.
I don't know. I'm not sure what you gained by it, because you can take the verses. You're going to say, in the beginning of creation, it describes the four things that were around at the very beginning. And our sages say that's an allusion to the four kingdoms that were yet to come. You could say that's an allusion to everything. You could say that's an allusion to breakfast, lunch, supper, and snack in between, right? So it's not exactly that he proved everything from the verses until now. But his tradition allowed him to say, these are allusions to these concepts. Here he's saying, I don't have a tradition, I don't have a source, and I have a piece of wisdom which I don't know where it came from. So maybe there's something I don't know, and maybe this has to be relegated to the oral law. And with this, as you're correctly pointing out, he's changing the game on us. Meaning then, it's not that he can find an allusion for everything in the written law, it's that the written law plus the oral law, or the written law plus the tradition, is going to be all-encompassing. I'm just saying, that doesn't bother me so much, because even what he called the written law in the first 11 chapters till we got here, not like it says it. It's his oral tradition that allows him to derive it from the
written.
Right, but I'm saying it's, you know, if you think about it, it's not like anything was proven until now. His whole development of creation starting with the smallest form of matter doesn't say that. It's his oral tradition on how to interpret what's written. Okay, so if everything I said until now was predicated on the oral tradition, so the shift isn't huge. I agree with you that it's still a shift. It's not the way we thought he was taking us. But it's not that big.
So it appears that if we're going to say that, so it appears that this point is just like within the oral law, which as it is given to us and related in the Gemara and the Mishnah and plus the Torah, that everything has been covered.
I don't know. I'm not sure. Because everything else, he's going to show us from the Torah. Meaning, as far as I recall, this is the only exception. So he's bothered by it too. I don't know.
Apparently it's not contrary to his point.
Look, this deserves a broader discussion. But I guess if not now, then when? So the Nitziv, in his introduction to the She'iltos, poses the following question. We had 3,000 halachos that were forgotten during the mourning for Moshe Rabbeinu. So these were 3,000 halachos that we had on tradition. And what did they say? Who could figure them out with pilpul? With tremendous sharpness, who could get them out of the verses? So the Nitziv says, we see that the world wasn't divided in two. Meaning, it's not that this is what you got from the Torah, this is what you need the oral tradition for, and the two don't overlap. No, there are certain things which we had in the oral tradition, which if you go back to the Torah, now work your head off, you're going to be able to find them from the Torah. But Hashem didn't expect that from us. Meaning Hashem, so to speak, gave it to us on a silver platter. Now that they forgot them, so they said, okay, now we got to go back to the Torah and break our heads and figure it out. So it could be, if we're going to say that there is the potential to derive from the Torah the answer even to new questions. Ilan Ramon on the moon, as we find in the Talmud and in the Mishnah. New questions came up. They were able to derive the answers from the Torah. That was part of the idea of the 13 laws of derivation, the laws of inference, the laws of logic with which the sages had a tradition, had to derive things from the Torah. So you also find this, what does Hashem answer Yehoshua when Yehoshua asks Hashem, help me out, tell me, what are those 3,000 halachos we forgot? What does Hashem say? Go conquer them, b'milchamto shel Torah. Fight the battle of Torah. Now you're going to have to break your head, sit down, convene the court, sit down, start analyzing the psukim and work it out. I'm not helping you. That's it. I'm not getting involved anymore. I gave the Torah once. Now it's up to you. You work it out. What do you see? You see that there is the capacity to work, break our heads, and derive answers to questions. The fact that the Ramban says, and he was very careful in how he worded it, he didn't say it doesn't have an allusion in the Torah. He says, I don't know of an allusion from the Torah. So fine, he's leaving it at that. So he didn't know. Fine, that doesn't say that much. As giant as the Ramban was, we don't know if he had the Zohar. We don't know if he had other works that in his part of town they didn't have. You know, Rashi. It's not clear that Rashi had a version of the Jerusalem Talmud throughout his life. So there were a lot of works that he didn't necessarily encounter just because they weren't available where he lived. So okay. He can't. Anything the Ramban is saying is tradition. He's not allowed to in his generation. He didn't have the tradition strong enough to come and derive new things. Right. So all he's saying is, I don't know. He's saying maybe it was a tradition, and what's the maybe not, and maybe there's a source that I don't know, which is 100% okay. You know, there's a Ramban on Avraham Avinu. The Ramban says Avraham Avinu sinned in not fighting for Sarah. And Rabbi Moshe Feinstein writes in a responsa that can't be, because the Ramban can't invent a sin for Avraham Avinu that our sages didn't have on tradition. You can't just, using your own logic, invent that he did something wrong. Later on, they found an ancient medrash that says it. So now, okay, so the Ramban could say it. He didn't invent it, but we didn't have that. Meaning, I don't know if they got it when the Yemenites came. I don't know where they got this medrash. They found the source for it. Originally, no one knew where he got it from. Now we have a source. Okay, so...
Rabbi, again, how do you... My point is not that he says he doesn't know where it is. That's perfectly fine that he doesn't know it. The point is that he relegates it to the oral lines that are written.
Oh.
I asked you, in accordance with what you said about the Nesiv, that everything can be mefalto from the psukim. So then, how do you explain that the Gemara, Achshavaya Yishayahu B'Tala Prahad? If the Gemara, the Gemara to me seems to indicate that there was nothing until we put it in the Tanakh.
Again, you're taking me to a broader discussion of what does the term remez mean. Meaning, what does it mean when he shows me an allusion from the Torah? That deserves a much longer class. Meaning,
then there could be something that's not a remnant, but it's still in the Torah?
Of course.
I'm saying, you want to explain that Gemara saying that they were looking for specifically a remnant and not anything else. That there was something else.
Again, you're taking me to a subject that deserves an hour discussion. Meaning, in order to answer that, we have to begin by analyzing and defining what status does the halacha of Avelus, or the halacha of Kohanim. The halacha is where the Gemara discusses it. What status would it have if we could figure it out from the Torah? Does it change its status if it's only coming from Yechezkel? I'm saying this is... And that involves a Menorah Samar and a Rambam and a Kinas Sofrim and a Ramban and a Maral. And you're taking me to a place where we need a whole few classes introducing that Gemara and then working our way backwards, but we first have to understand the Gemara. We're not talking the same terminology yet. Your assumption as to the term Remez happens to be Machlokas Rambam, Ramban, and others in Hilchos Yom Kippur. And in other places, like the Rambam's second root for defining how you count in the Sefer Mitzvah, we can't cover everything here.
The point is that if you want to make that Gemara fit with what you said about the Nesiv, so you have to say, seemingly, that there's something in the Torah, even though it's not a remez.
Oh, so there's a lot. There's a smachta, there's remez, there's drush, There's sod. I understand, but we haven't yet discussed when it's taken out pepilpulo, is that going to be doraisa or drabon? On what level does it have?
It's not relevant. The point is that there's something, even if it's doraisa or it's drabon, it doesn't matter. You could say that what would come out of the Torah would not be the same as it is a remnant. And that's, so therefore they looked for a remnant and they found it in the psukim and set up. But my point is that there would have to be something else. There has to be something in the Torah. It doesn't matter if the right to rub it under anything. As long as there's something, then you can make the argument that in some way you can find everything through the psukim.
But that's not what the Gemara was trying to prove there. Meaning you're assuming the Gemara was looking to validate like the Ramban, show me some idea that you could illustrate.
No, I'm understanding from how you presented it that it's in contradiction with the concept that everything is in the Torah. Unless you re-explain it as I just tried to re-explain it. I'm not saying that they came to try and prove that there was something in that everything in the Torah and they failed. I'm just saying that from them saying that we looked for something in the Torah and it's not in the Torah, that seemingly indicates that the concept that everything in the Torah is not true.
No, because when they were asking for a source. Maybe they wouldn't have been happy if it was a remez, because then it wouldn't have the halachic weight that they wanted it to have.
Exactly, that's what I'm saying, that there's something in the Torah, it's just not what they were looking for, and that's why they asked Dafka for what they came up with from the number.
Right.
Okay, that's all I was asking.
So that's what I'm saying, but...
I don't know exactly what...
No, because it's more complex than that. That's what the Netziv works on, defining when it has what halachic weight, meaning... What level of indication does the verse have to give me to this concept for me to say that it is biblically obligatory? Sometimes I say the Torah alluded to the concept. It's not obligatory, but it's indicative that the Torah approves of the concept. You have things that the Torah doesn't overtly say are prohibited, yet the Torah says are punishable if you did them. So are they prohibited? Oh yeah, the Torah indicated they're prohibited. Yet we say... that we have a rule, ain on shinel and kin mazirin. You do need a verse that prohibits it. You can't just say, well, the Torah punished, so it's prohibited. So there's another system of logic at play here. It's a traditional system of logic. Even though by inference it should work, part of the logic is that you're not going to work that way. So that's what I'm saying. The question that the Netziv deals with over there, and that's why it takes about 50 pages, is... when is it biblical, when isn't it? And what weight of inference do you need to use? Here we're talking about remez, we're talking about allusion. It's all oral, but somewhere I'm finding in the Torah and saying, okay, it's alluded.
Yeah, your point in bringing the Netziv is just to show that there is a source for this concept that everything is in the Torah. And it doesn't necessarily, it has nothing to do with what level were those specific halachos or anything.
Fine, no. My point in bringing the Netziv was that there are things that are alluded in the Torah that weren't uncovered. That when Moshe Rabbeinu gave them the Torah, they did not know where it was in the Torah, yet Hashem said, work your head off and find it. Meaning, so there could be something which they didn't see yet in the Torah, but now they're going to have to work their way backwards and figure it out. So then there's an evolvement in our interpretation of the Torah as well, so long as those generations had it. That's what I'm saying. That from the Netziv I see that there can be something which is derived from the Torah now, which hitherto was based on tradition, but that doesn't diminish from the fact that it can be derived from the Torah. But we've gone off on a big tangent now. That's,
I still remain with the Kusha. The Ramban doesn't say that there's something in the Torah that indicates or proves or hints to this concept of Masa Merkabah.
Because he couldn't say it if he didn't have a tradition for it.
Trying to argue the case that it must be in there according to the
right.
Whole concept.
Granted,
everything is in the Torah, and therefore, by his relegated into the oral law, he's seemingly not going with the case that everything is in the written Torah.
Agreed.
Rather, it's a combination of oral and written.
Agreed. That I agree with.
Okay.
But again, that's not a big leap.
You're saying it, but it's definitely different from what the whole speech I've understood the speech up until now.
Agreed. I agree. Right. Yeah, okay.